Well, I'm going to talk about walking in freedom tonight. Well, who bubba shakapa? You know. Well, I could give it in two words. Just stop it. S-T-O-P-I-T. Stop it. Whatever you've been doing that's wrong, stop it. So we were, you know, when our early days, they said, we just need to pray and read your Bible. I did both. It didn't stop it at all. I thought there's got to be more than just pray, read your Bible. You know, people, we had a problem. The counsel we were given in those days, if you had a problem and you needed deliverance, they say, just get in the Word, brother. Get in the Word. And I think, get in the Word? What do you mean, get in the Word? You know, and I couldn't find out how to solve anything. But I want to share with you some things tonight to help you in this area. Have a good time. Let me pray for people. I want to release the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to release deliverers in the house, you know. It says in the Bible, there'll be deliverance in Zion. And we want to see that. Many, many deliverers. Okay, so I just thought, it's quite helpful. If you just ask the question, what is freedom like? Well, it's kind of a bit like tonight, really. No, that's freedom, you know. But so I've asked the question, what does bondage look like? The Bible describes it in Psalm 137, verse 1. And you know, they turned it into a song. But actually, the song describes what it's like living in bondage. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. And they required of us a song, but how can we sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? Now, right in there, you see it, that when people are in bondage, spiritually, they sit down. They're passive. They shut down, and they can't. There's no joy. There's no life. The loss of joy, loss of life. That's the evidence that you're in bondage, the loss of joy, because joy is part of the kingdom. Joy and peace are evidence the kingdom is operating in your life. So when you lose the joy and become all intense and serious, there's something not right. So joy, in the presence of the Lord is joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The kingdom of heaven and righteous peace. And a joy that the Holy Ghost gives when you put your life right with Him. So freedom to me is evidenced by I'm at peace, not anxious and uptight and stressed and demandy and pressured. And I'm joyful and laugh a lot. And I do laugh a lot too. And I send lots of funnies and things out to get other people laughing as well because they're far too serious. They need to learn to not take themselves too seriously and need to enjoy the journey. Yeah, enjoy God, you know? And so that's what bondage looks like. People become passive. They sit down in their spirit and they weep. There's grief and sadness and there's no more joy. How shall we sing the song of the Lord? No flow of the spirit. So it's right there in that verse. How about that? And then, so what does freedom look like? Well, you find it in Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord brought again the captivity of Zion, meaning when you set us free, it's like a big dream. It's just we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. So you see right there in that passage again, you see what freedom looks like. It's almost like a dream. It's like that old life's all gone. I got new life. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. So freedom and laughter go together. When people start getting together and laughing, they attract other people. There's nothing like hearing a group of people laughing. You know what you think? I'm missing out. FOMO starts to increase. I got to go there and find out what's going on. So whenever there's freedom, there'll be joy and laughter and a lot of fun and music. Because that's freedom. The joy and the laughter, it's the movement of God in our lives brings joy. That doesn't mean that everything's good in our life. It doesn't mean there won't be times of weeping and crying and a challenge. But the freedom is all seen when you can actually break through to a place of joy. Let's release that joy right now. Holy Ghost joy just be released upon everyone right now. Let that joy just come into the meeting and upon everyone. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And like everything else, it starts like a trickle and it grows if you yield. Isn't that right? He's going to get filled until he can't stop laughing. Joy, joy, joy. And so when the Holy Ghost brings freedom into meetings, people start to laugh and other people stare. It's because, and I remember that. I remember when the Holy Ghost moved when in the, I don't know when it was a while ago now, but when there was a great move of God in the Toronto move, and we had Jill Austin here, and then, and I went to the, and I paid a price to get her there and set it all up, and people didn't like her coming, and she started to move, and the first night, there's all this laughter everywhere. Everyone's laughing but me. I was a bit grumpy when I went home that night. And then the second night, the same thing happened. I'm thinking, this sucks. Everyone is getting something but me. The third night, I was really in bad shape. And I think, this is terrible. I remember going home crying out to the Lord saying, Lord, what's going on? Why is it everyone else? There's joy and there's laughter and they're rolling around, they're laughing, and not me. And you know, it's a sort of bit of a complain to the Lord thing, and then suddenly there was a silence when he's about to speak, and I listen, and this is what he said to me: "You got too much control in your life." So I just repented and surrendered it. Next night, man, I was rolling on the ground. God touched me. The Holy Ghost came on me. I laughed and laughed and laughed. We had laughter. Talk about laughter. It just flowed through the church. It flowed everywhere. Remember, we had this outpouring of the laughter and the freedom. And at that stage, the church had the back area. We've grown into it now, but the back part of the building, we turned into a sports center. And we had a meeting one night, and the sports center was girls' night. And so when you get girls competing in netball and that kind of stuff, mate, the aggression. Whoa, I don't know. Even if they're Christian, they get aggressive. Anyway, so there's this aggressive match going on. Well, we started, the Holy Ghost came, the laughter came, the joy came, and it changed the whole atmosphere in the next room. And then they started to laugh and laugh and laugh, and then they started to fall over. They couldn't carry on the games. The presence of God was there. There was such a joy of the Lord. Heaven was come to earth. And all that aggression, and of course, anyone makes a mistake, everyone laughs like crazy. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I remember going into a restaurant and we sat down. I took the guest speaker in or wherever it was. We sat down to have a lunch. So we're sitting down to have a lunch, and there's an old farmer and his wife in the next sort of cute table, you see. So he can't help but hear what they're saying. And every time he opens his mouth, he's complaining. My God, I've never heard anyone complain so much. That's all he did. He complained. And I said, did you get that? Listen to this. Every time he opens his mouth, he complains. And so then we started to wait, and he would open his mouth and complain, and we got the giggles. And then after a while, the Holy Ghost laughter came so strong that we were shrieking with laughter, because every time he opened his mouth, it's a complaint. And it got funnier and funnier and funnier. And then he started to laugh, and then everyone started to laugh, and the whole atmosphere changed. So the house of God should be filled with joy. That's a sign of freedom. It doesn't mean that we don't have troubles. It just means that we know how to come into the presence of God and discover joy of the Lord, the freedom of the Holy Ghost. And it's very clear when the kingdom, when our life is ordered, peace and joy are the outcomes of it. Okay, so we want to talk then about freedom, principles of freedom. See what we can do. I'll see if I can get through it. If I don't, too bad. So, when I start to look into these things on how do you maintain a walk in freedom, I found lots of people got lots of ideas. And they give you such a long list of stuff. I just think, I don't know if I can remember all that, let alone do any of it. And it just didn't feel like it fitted me. And so I've just defined this journey of freedom a little differently to perhaps the way it would have been done. And I think that freedom requires we pursue God's purpose and alignment with his kingdom. I don't think there's freedom apart from working and operating the way you're designed to work. Think about that. That God's purpose or in original intention was a family of sons representing him who would actively relate to him and participate in sharing his kingdom. So I think if you want to walk in freedom, you have to make that your purpose, make that the focus of your life. And that, and we saw that that's made up of three areas or dimensions that interlock with one another. The pursuit of intimacy. The pursuit of intimacy is foundational to your freedom. It keeps you locked into a life source. The actively engaging in the assignment God has for you. It means you're doing what God called you to do in the earth. You're not just becoming a way out there. and like that. And there's no working out in your life, you know. And you get a few people like that. And I think, what the heck? And they go crazy in church. And then the rest of the time, they're just weird. And that's, I mean, you know, well, you probably know one at least. Oh, you're pointing hands at one another. It's probably both of you then. So, you know, the balance, there's a balance in the intimacy with God and the journey into deepening that intimacy encounters with God. And then it's outworked with our engaging people and serving people. Yeah, yeah, you've got to serve people. See, because when we come into the kingdom, God's going to look at our intimacy and whether we were aligned with him or just did our own thing. Our assignment and whether we were faithful in doing it. Your assignment is preparing you and qualifying you for realms of assignment in the coming kingdom. So freedom to me is not just about coming to church. It's got nothing to do with the coming to church. It's got to do with the understanding God's purpose and committing to embrace and walk with him in it, which means I need to deepen my intimacy, keep my first passion and love alive. That's not easy in church. So many mean people. Oh, come on, you know it. You know it. People that hurt you the most will be people in church. You thought it'd be different, but you know, it's just a mixed mob and they're all on a journey and everyone's got some sandpapery parts to them and that's the one you seem to be next to and they get you up the wrong way, you know. And then the third part of that of our sonship is the intentional embracing changes in our life, transformation. We must be intentional about that. You'll be intentional about letting God change you and actually pursue it rather than, and of course, if you don't know what to pursue, then you're sort of a bit lost in it. So I'll help you with that tonight and just outline what it might look like. I'll give you some practical things, but the simplest thing to remember and to ask yourself is, am I passionate for the Lord and pursuing him and growing and knowing him? Am I engaging in serving with a desire to be faithful to the assignment God gave me? Am I allowing him to work in my life and bring change? Is my heart and character developing? Am I discovering the areas I need to be free and moving towards that? Now, you find that when people start to go off the rails is when they stop doing any one of those things. People stop serving, just come to church and love meetings. I shake my head. You know, the Bible's very clear. How can you say you love God who you don't see if you can't love the one you do see? So God put some strange people in your life to serve. And your bad attitudes all come up. That's how that works. It's true. Anyone who served in church knows what happens. Man, oh man. And that's why people quit. They get offended. They think it'll all be different. And it isn't. Jesus is perfecting his church, but you and I are called to grow as sons and daughters and to fulfill or align with his purpose. There it is, intimacy and our assignment and change, transformation. So I'll open that up a little bit and give you some things on that, and then we want to pray. Oh, I don't think I'm going to get... I probably got about all I'm going to get out, I can see that. I'll give it a go, but I just... It's all going downhill from here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'd have to hurry them. That'll help it. Or maybe just... I've got actually this is I've actually typed up notes on this one. How about that? Normally I have pieces of paper with stuff written all over them because I change all the time. I just every time I go to a meeting I change what I'm doing. So if I type it up, it's pretty well useless really, because next week it'll be doing it different. However, well, I'm doing the best to go digital now. So this is digital. Here we go. Okay, so just talk about then, first of all, just maintaining your walk with the Lord. And so freedom will look like, it's like a Christ-centered, loving, and kingdom-living life. It's just actually around the kingdom and around Him. And you're bringing everything into alignment. So just to put it in some practical terms, the first area is the area of intimacy. And it's just a lot. And what that would mean is, I just need to maintain my altar with the Lord. I need to maintain my life with God. Now, the church isn't responsible for that. You are. It's your altar, and the altar is really important. That's where the fire comes. The Lord was speaking to me about the altar tonight, about my own personal life. And so here's a few things then you can do. Number one, develop strong praying in tongues. Because praying in tongues, your spirit is praying. 1 Corinthians 14:14, your spirit's praying. And when you pray in tongues, don't mumble in tongues. It says pray in tongues, not mumble. It doesn't say mumble away in tongues. It doesn't even say stutter in tongues. It's pray in tongues, you know. Pour out from your inner man. And it's a language, and focus your thoughts on God and pray and mingle it with English so you have a bit of an idea what you're praying. But as you pray, there does something in you. Your spirit man rises up and you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You do when you just pray in tongues. So I guarantee if I held Ian's hand as my friend and all I do is pray in tongues, he'll wobble. I tell you, I know, because I remember, I go for prayer walks in the morning, and I remember, and I do it early when there's usually no one around. There's someone around. Well, that's a bit of it's awkward. I try to pretend I'm singing. I was walking down there one night, and there's a girl came the other way and she fell over. As soon as she got next to me, she fell straight over like that. She was a Christian, so she knew exactly what was going on. She couldn't believe it, just fell over. That's great. I mean, it does something. It stirs the atmosphere when you pray in tongues. It really does. People don't get taught enough about the importance of praying in tongues and believing God for another tongue and stirring so it rises strongly from in your spirit. Not necessarily loud. Some people aren't loud people, but it needs to be strong from within your spirit. Because as you do that, your spirit starts to energize, come alive, and it fills the atmosphere around you with the life of God. It's extraordinary what happens. And it can upset lots of people. I remember being in a hotel. I got up early as I normally do, start to pray in tongues, put some headphones on, the music on. I didn't have that loud. I didn't think I was praying loud. I'm sure I wasn't praying loud. And anyway, I got the fright of my life as suddenly the door bursts open. You don't expect that. And it's the hotel, the manager. What are you doing? I'm praying. And he said, you're disturbing the people underneath. I thought, it's not even the people in the next room, it's the ones underneath me. So I don't know. I said, well, I'm really sorry. I'm praying. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your hotel. Praying for the ministry we have. He said, oh, okay. And he just let it go like that. Just amazing, isn't it? Praying in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. And you find you can feel your spirit start to suddenly expand. It just comes alive and energized inside. And sometimes that can take a little while. And if it takes a little while, that's okay. Just keep praying stronger until you start to feel your spirit rise like that. And then you become used to having a sensitized spirit that can arise very quickly. Instead of, you know, having to play a half an hour of songs to wake you up and get you going, it just immediately you can just come there and awaken on the inside. I can do it now because prayed in tongues so strongly. It's a great thing to do. Do more of it. Isn't that right, Ian? Amen. Ababa shaka baba baba shaka baba. Hora baba. Holy Ghost, touch him right now. Anyway, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Yeah, secondly, build an atmosphere of worship. Build an atmosphere of praise and worship. Put music on, put worship on, build an atmosphere around you. And then participate, to get involved in praise, involved in that's the way we bring heaven to earth. Heaven is full of music. Heaven is literally full of music. And so when we start to play worship music, when we start to participate, we're resonating with heaven. Heaven starts to invade our lives. So build an atmosphere. Put music on in your house. Music on around when you walk around. I have music often going on. And I choose and select some, which is working to stir my awareness of God. Some of it is just a simple song, very simple song that is crying out with hunger for God and love for Him and longing for Him. Because if I play that over and over and over, I've learned it by heart and it resonates with my heart. And it's speaking into my heart what I want to say. I long for you. I'm hungry for you. I must have more in you. Does that make sense? You see song, you learn things by heart. If I said, what's 3 times 4? Most people can just come up with the answer before I finished it. 12. They don't go, 12. That's not, because you learned it by heart. You learned it by heart by speaking and by repeating. And so there's a certain element where using songs that resonate with what we're wanting to declare helps shift us internally, create atmosphere around your life. And the first thing is a sound of joy, a sound of praise and joy. I've been amazed how many churches I've gone to do deliverance ministry. And at the end, I turn to the musicians and I say, I want a song that we can dance to. And the song they come up with, I'm thinking, dear God, what kind of dance is that? It's a slow waltz. I kind of want a hand clappy, foot stompy. Yeah, come on. I want a kind of a joyful sound. Make a joyful sound to the Lord. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, it says. So joy needs expression. And so you need music that gets everything going and gets you clapping and shouting. And it's just actually helping you build an atmosphere around your life of joy and praise and gratitude. So do that. You do that. Be responsible for that. That's how you start to build that connection. Cultivate actually connection with the Lord. So practice just the presence of God. And you do that by, it comes out of your worship time. In your worship time, if you will, after you've praised, as you're praising and speaking to the Lord, you begin to meditate on Him. You begin to hold Him in your mind and heart. You fix your mind on Him and see Him. You could see Him. When I was starting to do this, I focused on Jesus being the good shepherd. I memorized the psalm. I began to pray the psalm aloud. And then I began to pray it personally. And then I began to fix my mind that Jesus is my friend. What would that look like and feel like? And as I prayed, I would hold my mind on that. And I learned by holding my mind on that, there was a point where I would suddenly engage Him and His presence came. And then I found then that I got many benefits from it. Number one, faith for the presence of God to come around my life grew. Second thing that happened was I trained my mind to stay focused for long periods of time. And that's a big, and thirdly, I found it much easier to minister to people. Because when you minister to people, you've got to bring your mind onto the Lord and not let it go all over the place. And that's why I can stay in that flow for a long time now, because I've trained my mind to stay focused, not wander. So these are just things. So then what you can do is just during the day, just have a moment where you drop into His presence, become conscious of Him. Now, it's not you have to do a lot. He is always here. It's just we're so preoccupied with other things, we're not aware of Him here. But what you can do, and don't do it while you're driving, but that'd be not good to move at all. Just close your eyes and begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to just welcome His presence and fix your mind back on Him. And within 2 minutes, I become conscious of Him. Suddenly, I'm less conscious of what's around me. I become aware of Him and start to feel His love and feel His presence coming. And so you become refreshed because you just draw in. It's called, by some people, practicing the presence of God. But you have to stop and you reflect. You go into his presence is dwelling within us. I become aware God is with me. Now, you may find you try that thing. It didn't work for me. Well, it does work. It's just sometimes there are obstacles, and that's part of our journeys to grow through those, press through all of those. So when you're building your life with God, practice speaking the word of God over your life. Many people don't realize how important it is to build a faith atmosphere over your own life. And so God framed the world by speaking his word. We've got to take the word of God and speak it. And so we speak God's word over our life. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you make it your declaration. You take the word of God and you declare it to be true. And you start to begin to shape the atmosphere over your life. Instead of all the other people shaping it, you shape it. You begin to speak God's word over yourself. Begin to declare over your eyes, over your mind, over your heart, over your body, over your life. You start to declare God's blessing, God's word, God's provision, God's life. You speak it out. Then you start to do it over your family if you're married, over your finances, over your workplace. In other words, before you ever go out into the world, you've already stood in the presence of God and started to speak and decree and proclaim over your life the destiny that you're believing for. Otherwise, you go out and you've never built anything. There's a building that you do in prayer. So it's not all just about the worship. In the place of being in his presence, you build with him. So there's things that you start to speak forth. And you speak forth daily until they become a rhythm in your life. They become natural in your life. So when you don't start to try too much. You just build one thing in. And so, as we'll get to it shortly, one of the things I do is I take time to build the qualities of the kingdom into my heart. You say, what are those? Well, read the Bible. You don't need to look at it. Jesus himself describes two of the heart qualities he has that were the most important ones. And I only saw it a little while ago. I never realized that Jesus actually made it known. He spoke it out quite openly. Two qualities that characterize the values of his heart, how he does his life. Now, there are other things as well, but it's just helpful if you know those. And it's in Matthew 11:29, where he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And he said, for I am meek and humble of heart, or lowly of heart. So in other words, he's saying that my heart is characterized by meekness and by humility. Now, humility, when we humble ourselves, when we develop humility in our heart, then we make room for God's grace to be poured out, and we position ourselves then to be promoted by God. Humility is demonstrated through transparency. It's demonstrated through serving, many different ways. You could do a study on it. Sometimes the easiest way to see it is to study the opposite, which is pride. People with pride are defensive, they're blowhards, they've got all kinds of systems of trying to build their life and impress people. But humility, I know what God says and I agree with that. So pride has two faces to it, and blowhard and skiting and self-centered, and it also is very rejected, like a lot of Kiwis. And so neither of those, that's not humility. Humility, I know what God says about me, and I stand on that today. I'm neither elevating myself nor going down below what I'm called to be. This is who I am. Now, so humility of heart is something you develop. You pray it over your life. You embrace it as your heart qualities. In other words, you're calling forth the man and woman you really are anyway by intentional embracing it and calling it forth, putting it on in your life. Meekness is strength that is controlled. So meekness is not weakness that people walk all over you. It's not that. Meekness, the opposite of meekness is anger. Anger is where you get out of control, where there's a strong energy and power. People feel powerful when they're angry, but that energy is uncontrolled. And it devastates everyone or devastates themselves. So meekness is I know what I can do, but I deliberately restrain it to get God's kingdom advanced. See? There's a strength. Jesus said, don't you realize I could call from the Father, he'd bring legions of angels. I can actually whip everyone up right now. You know? And then show who I am. But you see, he kept his strength under control. Moses was meek. So meekness increases your influence with people, and it's a necessary quality of leadership because your strength is managed and not misused and abused people. But humility, that's a quality that allows God to lift you up. It's a quality of believing. Anyway, those are things you can build in your heart. Father, today I thank you for a meek and a humble heart. Lord, today I exchange all the anger and pride in my heart. Today I put on a meek and a humble heart. See, I must be building. And so I ask for a meek and a humble heart. I look at Solomon. God was very pleased with what he asked for, so I ask for that too. Lord, today I ask for an understanding and wise heart. Give me an understanding heart to hear and discern things. Give me wisdom to know how to operate. Today, Lord, I believe for those things in my life. You've got to be intentional about building your life. Because who's going to do it for you? No one is responsible for your life. You are. So don't just get busy, so busy you can't build your life. And don't get so busy with praying for everyone else that you neglect to invest in the building of your life. So first, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So focusing on building your life is very important. You grow your capacity and you grow your stature in God. So intimacy. So the first thing then is the journey to intimacy, knowing the Lord through these are various ideas or ways or things that could help you. And of course, if you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, you need to listen to him and do what he says. Because obedience makes room for the Holy Ghost to move in a different way, in a more powerful way in your life. And so often we don't recognize that there's a principle in Mark 4, verse 24, and it says, he that it is to hear, more will be given. In other words, what he's saying, and it's not just listening, he's saying, for the Bible, hearing means you're doing. So when God speaks to you and you respond, it activates a flow of more to come to you because you're a responsive person. Then he goes on to say, if he doesn't respond, because the opposite happens, what they think they have starts to diminish. So this is the problem. You can think because you know lots of Bible that you've come a long way. But there's young people that are just birthed in the Spirit, and they're moving much more powerfully and much greater flow because they've just got a simple obedience to God. That activates flows of life. So you learn in the little things just to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Now, you may not start off that way. You say, what? That can't be God. But after a while, you learn to recognize his voice. So intimacy with God is a relationship. So make that your passion. And hang around people that are passionate. You hang around. Don't make the losers your friends. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? Let me just... I'll clarify. It says, it's what you become is important. So you become a friend to all people, but not all people are your friends. Think about that. Jesus said, you are my friends if... Anyone thinks they're Jesus' friend? Not necessarily so. See, what a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, he's a great friend because he'll stick with you all the time and he'll always do the right thing and he'll always stand by you. And that's what he wants you to be. He wants you to become a friend. It's who you are. You're a friendly person. But that doesn't mean you build your life around people that whose value system and lifestyle is not going forward in God. Your closest friends need to be people who are passionate for God and help inspire you to keep moving forward. They are true friends. The others you find, you think they're your friends and they're not. They actually use you to get what they want. And I found a very simple thing that people I thought were my friends. The moment the Lord spoke to me about changing and drinking, because I never go out and get drunk every time I go out with them. And they thought it was great fun. And so when I just made a stop to that, then they all got upset. I thought, well, what kind of friends are you? I never realized that. I thought they were my mates. They weren't. They the friendship was on another plane. So your true friends are those who carry a passion for God and pursuit of his kingdom, because when you connect with them, their passion helps impart to you. You hang around angry people, you become an angry person. So it doesn't mean you don't connect, you disconnect from people, you become a friend. In other words, you always do the right thing to them, but you don't necessarily build your life around the connection with them. You've got to build your own life with God. So it's not easy to find people that are passionate for God and keep going. So I've only got a few, but I treasure those friendships, because whenever I'm with them, it's like we were never apart, and there's a common passion for God and love for the things of God. And you come away thinking, oh man, I need to, man, it stirred me up just there. See? Intimacy. Okay, so the first thing is intimacy. Anything that obstructs your walk with God or your intimacy with God is your enemy. So that's anyway, there's one. A second thing to do then is there's a need for you to give yourself to not just intimacy, there's a need for us to actually begin to develop a serving life. You develop a serving life and an assignment. So the Bible's very clear. He said, Galatians 5:13, you're called to liberty, but don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But here's what liberty looks like. By love, you serve people. So you're becoming a loving servant. That's who you are. Serving is great in the kingdom. For the law is all fulfilled in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. So every believer has an assignment to advance the kingdom. And that assignment is not some big ministry thing. The assignment is just basically the task you're called to do. And they're many and varied, and often they look insignificant. But God is qualifying you for his coming kingdom. So he just watches, well, you know, for some women, it may be that you're in a season where family is everything. So don't worry about ministry stuff. Just focus on your first responsibility, yourself, your marriage, your family, and build that. Build something for the future there. And you do whatever serving and ministry you can. So our assignments will always involve people. Always. Assignment is always people and a place or area of influence. So if you start to think that way, then you think the neighborhood I'm in is the place God planted me and an assignment. All of the people around here I'm going to be praying for and look for the chance to bless them or help them in some way. For some, your assignment may be your workplace. So that's the place of my assignment. All assignments involve cultivation, development of life and fruit bearing in it, and protection of it from demonic invasion. All assignments involve those two things. So once you see that, you understand, what has God got me on now? And all assignments are given to you to develop faithfulness. In other words, can we rely on you? Now, this is the weird thing in church. You know, it's amazing how many people, all it takes is a little bit of a sniff and they don't turn up anymore. Just got a little bit of a chill, a little bit of a cold. And it's like it doesn't take anything and they're not there. You know, you've got them on a team, and they don't see that being on that team is their chance to build relationships, learn to submit, learn to be faithful to the point where they've got to be promoted because they've been so good at what they do. Instead, oh, I can't make it. I'm feeling a bit of a headache. I'm not feeling very well. You think, what? It's like little children. And the problem is they've been like this for 40 years in the church. You think, you have to see, if you have a responsibility, it's unto the Lord you're doing it. So do it well. Don't take a shortcut. Oh, that'll do. Oh my God. I remember when I first learned about serving, and first job I got was to do vacuuming. I went, great, awesome, vacuuming. And then I got promoted. We had a bit of a conference thing there. They said, you're in charge of making the cups of tea and coffee. Awesome. See, it doesn't really matter what your assignment is. It's always the same. Awesome. Yeah, awesome. It doesn't really matter. I'd like to be a worship leader. No, don't worry about that. Just get to make the cups of tea. Anyway, we had our first night. So I delegated a little team, got a bit of a helping team. Had one man the job. Now, I want you to make sure the hot water's hot. Now, that's not a complex job. But he was very self-important. And when the time came for the cup of tea, I said, where's the hot water? And he said, we don't have an extension lead. Now, my first thought was this. What a blimmin' idiot. obviously go check out the water, put water in the thing, and make sure it's plugged in. And if it's not plugged in, find a thing, a lead, and fix it. It's not hard. This is not rocket science.
Exactly.
And he's this man so great in the word, and he can't make the water boil. I'm thinking, this is just so... And then the Lord spoke to me. He told me, I don't like your attitude. He said, you're in charge. You're responsible. Ah! He said, you should have checked. That's when I learned that in the church, never assume anyone does what they're supposed to do. You'll always be disappointed. Because they're children learning how to fulfill their chores. That's what it is. That's why God puts us in a family, to learn how to do the chores. Sometimes the chore is turn up. You know, turn up at the door and smile at everyone and shake their hand and be nice to everyone. Because they don't remember the message, they remember you. So faithfulness is what God looks for. You look at the parable of the talents, it wasn't how much they got, it was what they did with it. Are you faithful or not? Does it stand up and shout, what a great job you did? That's what God's looking for. He's saying, I have true riches. I have great things in mind for you. Now I'm going to put you in charge of the cup of tea. I'd like you to really do it well and make it the most blessed cup of tea that people say, my, that was a nice cup of tea. See, it's just seeing it through the right eyes. And you'd be surprised how many can't do that. Now, I remember going to one, they have the thing called the green room that pastors go to a green room. I always say, what's a green room? I never heard of it. Why do they call it green anyway? I've no idea. This is mysteries of church. So anyway, I go in there. It's a very important place. And there was normally a lady was in charge of providing, you know, like a nice sort of a supper or something to snack on. And she would do a brilliant job. My, my, my. You know, the cups are all laid out, nice cups. Everything's laid out. The food's set out very beautifully. You'd look at it, you think, my, wow, that's impressive. And then I come in one night, and the lady couldn't do it. And one of the guys had been asked to do it. And the pastor and I both looked at it. And he said what I was thinking. I can't feel the love. I can't feel the love. Just a packet of biscuits opened up and put on a plate. There's no love there. No creativity there. That's the wrong person for that job for sure. But the key thing is you learn to be faithful that you serve, that wherever you are, that people like you being there because of your manner. A generous-spirited person, and you're a joyful person, and you're happy to do your job and do it well. So, you know, if we go down and ask the boss, you know, about how you go, oh, man, he's a great worker, always there, always on time, always got a good attitude, never lets people badmouth me behind my back. You're a really good worker. You understand? This is what God is looking for. You know, people want to be great. I would grow up, we start off in a church, it was a prophetic church. Everyone wanted to be important, prophesying and bringing a word. That's all wonderful stuff, but what about just straight out learning how to live your life and be a normal person and be kind to people and turn up at time and get the job done that was given to you? That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Instead of trying to impress us with this revelation. You know, this is what happened. You've got to get it real. That if I want to grow into freedom, I learn to love people and serve people. And some of them are really difficult. I'm trying to be kind and careful with my words here. But kindness, just be patient and kind and loving, and you speak up and front up with the truth. You've got to learn how to build great relationships and love people. That's what we're here to do. We're here to represent our Father. Now, if you have the mindset that everywhere I go, I'm my Father's son, what do they think of Dad when they see me? Just think that way all the time. And when you think that way all the time, knowing that you're representing your Father, and he's just going to ask, how well did you represent me? And of course, he's watching everything. He's watching everything. And he watches how you do things and why you do things and your motives and everything. And so any assignment we have is the opportunity to develop faithful heart. So I pray, God, give me a faithful and a loyal heart. I want to have a faithful heart. I want to diligently do well the things you give me to do. That means little things done well. Little things. Little things done well. And it means also that I'm faithful with money. I manage money properly. Because your money represents your life in a physical form, and many people are in a disastrous state when it comes to money. They just don't understand kingdom principles about money. So if you want to really grow in maturity and in freedom, you've got to address the issue of money, because money will bring you into bondage quicker than anything. And so we learn to manage money. It's not just all about a tithe. It's actually understanding God entrusts to you tangible resources to see if you can be entrusted in his kingdom with much greater things. So how you manage your money reflects how you manage the really important things. So your money is, it's like a sacred possession. It's your life in a physical form. So how you spend it, what you spend it on, how you manage it is really important, because you are building faithfulness with resources. And that means when God comes, when Jesus comes and is kinging, he can say, well done, you are faithful with little, I'll put you over much. So you don't just get promoted unless you're faithful in the little. Then he says, being faithful, Luke 16, this is, faithful in another man. So can you serve someone else and help them succeed? Serving someone means helping them get what they want done. And they may want to do it differently to your way. So don't argue. Just get them done the way they want it done and cooperate. Become a great servant to someone. Help them succeed. You say, well, what about me? It's okay. God will promote you. So if you promote yourself, you've got to keep yourself there by putting everyone else down. But if God promotes you, he'll be behind you in everything you do. See, this is kingdom living. So freedom to me means maintaining my passion and intimacy and walk with God and considering an enemy anything that causes my heart to turn from him. Okay, then the next thing is I must embrace the serving heart. And serving just begins in your home. So you don't go out and want to change the world. It's how you make your own bed. Tidy your room. Do something. You know, look after that. You go to some people's home and you think, my God, start here. And it's got nothing to do how expensive the house. It's just the fact that you consider it an entrustment from God. And you're looking after your entrustment. And so your house is an open home for people to come and feel welcome and feel hospitable. It doesn't matter whether you got nothing. Kids never knew we were poor. I never told them. And we had people into our house. So how can we be poor if we're having people into our house? So it's like you just practice contentment and generosity. And this is how you do stuff. See, this is what the path of freedom looks like. It's not complex. It's just being in love with God and learning how to love and serve people and then guarding your own heart. So I'll give you a few things about your own heart and about that journey, and because that's very, very important, eh? And then we'll finish and pray for everyone who wants prayer. So here's a few things. Commit to constant growing. Don't ever settle. See, I go to, my son's in charge of our church now, but I bring along my iPad and I take notes of his preaching because I want to stay in a learning mode. The trouble is when you get older, I know it all. Oh, yeah, I know that one. Now, listen, that's a bad attitude. You know, that means you become stagnant water because you know it all. And stagnant water is where mosquitoes and all kinds of bitey things develop. So, so, well, that's true. You're either moving or you're stagnating. If you're stagnating, well, you only have to look at nature. You see spiritual things in nature. Yet one of the big problems in Asia is static water, because static water becomes the source of multiplication of malaria-ridden mosquitoes or dengue fever stuff. And so you really are very careful, no stagnant water. So you should think that about your own life. Never be stagnant, always be growing. Now, if you're always growing, you've always got something to share what God's saying and doing. So commit to growing. So how do you say, well, how do I start that? Oh, my. Okay, well, where do you need to change? If you don't know, go and ask your pastor. Notice nothing's complicated about any of this. Get connected to someone who you can journey with. That's why we have small groups. Don't journey alone. It's the weirdest thing in church, the people things that people do. You know, like if someone's got a sore tooth, they ring a dentist. If they're sick, they call a doctor, make an appointment. But in church, they get something going wrong and they don't tell anyone. They stop coming. And then they get upset because the pastor didn't know. You think, what is that about? If you've got something, talk about it. Connect, relate, build relationships so when you're in trouble, you've got people notice you're not the normal self. So that means you've got to build relational connections. So part of your growth journey, it's not alone, it's a growth in community. It's a growing together. We need one another. And so if I want to grow and have personal transformation, I need to grow with others. So a few things then. So the first one will be just continue the heart journey. Ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to show you the places of your heart that need healing, that need change and transformation. Just ask Him to do it. Lord, are there any things today? And here's what you do. Notice when you react. Just be observant and notice when you react. How did I react? What caused me to react? What was I feeling when that happened? What does this reveal about something going on in my heart? And so another thing you can do is read about the heart. Start to do studies on the heart in the Bible. There's so many reference to the heart in the Bible and the different kinds of heart. So I pray today, Lord, I exchange all the impure motivation, uncleanness, create in me a clean heart and a pure and an upright heart. Because the Bible talks about a pure and an upright heart, and it tells what benefits people get from it. So your heart can be cultivated and developed, so it needs healing. So you've got to start to connect to what is happening inside me. Don't be condemned with the fact that some negative. Don't be condemned. Someone did something and you stirred up and got angry. Just explore why that's happening and inquire of the Holy Ghost and look at what's driving that. Ask Him to show you. If you don't know what, talk to a counselor, talk to someone who can help and give you further insight. Do some reading. Start to study on the heart. Start to study books on healing of the heart. See, because this is your journey. Otherwise, you continue with your heart shattered and broken and barriers, and you wonder why you're stagnant and can't move forward. But you need to explore deeper. Jesus said the key parable in the Bible of the kingdom is the parable of the sower and the seed. Nothing wrong with the seed. The issue is always with the heart. Huh? I tried to do a bit of gardening one time. Didn't succeed. The blooming thing was full of oxalis. I didn't know what. They were pretty little plants, grew flowers. I didn't know what they were. I didn't have a clue. In the end, I turned it into lawn. I couldn't get a thing to grow. Now, it wasn't the ground was the problem. It was all the weeds that were there, and I needed to actually be patient and cultivate the ground and plant some good seeds. So the first thing is continue the heart journey and start to reflect, become aware of your heart. As you journal with the Lord, identify if there's reactions taking place and just explore what triggered it, what you did, and why that might be there. Ask the Lord to show you. Continue the freedom journey. Ask the Lord to show you where there seems to be blocks or bondages, and then explore it, ask Him to show you, or go through and do some study. Go online. My website's got heaps of stuff, all free, and there's other websites. So cultivate sensitivity or awareness in your journey, what's going on. How did this affect me? When I come into a room, what does the atmosphere feel like? When I am with people, how did that affect me? When I walk away, what's happened inside me? Start to develop sensitivity in your own heart and life to what's happening. Don't get just so busy you can't feel what's going on anymore. And so that's part of the heart journey, exploring the heart and letting God help me with that. Deal with issues of the heart very promptly. So if things come up, deal with them quickly. The most issues that you have are usually there are temptations that come, there are people issues and just pressures of life. So I want to recognize if there's temptations come, that's not a sin. It's only a sin if I respond to it. So if I do respond, don't be beaten up by that. Jesus made provision already. So don't dishonor Him a second time by refusing to believe He's provided for you to get back up again. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, just get straight back up again. Just get straight back up again. Don't stay in a defeated state. It's interesting, Samson in the Bible, and we all know him. Oh, man, that's the guy who got tangled with Delilah and got his eyes put out and he's had the most expensive haircut in the world. you know. But you see, what we don't see is when you read in the New Testament, the Bible says he's a man of faith. So in other words, God saw that in spite of failure, he got up again. And that's what made him a man of faith. Not that he didn't have failures, is that he stood up again and believed God. He was repentant and pursued again. And so we should never be condemned. The fact you got problems, of course you got them. Everyone's got them. Pastors have them. They hide them a bit, but, you know, they still got them, you know. Yes, this is, I spend all my time now counseling. Pastors have got big problems, and some of them are worse than yours, but I tell you. So I won't give you any more. You can ask Ian yourself. He will testify of his victories. No, but it's just all people in life, there are struggles we have. And so don't worry about the fact you've got struggles and ups and downs. Just commit to growing through them. It says, no temptation overtake a man that's not common to man. And God will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape that you may bear it or come through it at the other side and be a better person. So a lot of people say, well, God, you know, give me patience. I'm praying, Lord, I need more patience. Well, it says tribulation worketh patience. In other words, okay, you want patience? Great, I'm all on for that. I'll just send a little bit of pressure. And then, of course, you think, what the heck? I'm praying for patience here, Lord. And he said, no, I've seen you what brings about patience. You get a bit of pressure and heat on your life. And it shows up where you need God. And you humble yourself and God comes through and more patience is in your life. You've learned to endure. You've learned to hang on. You start to grow as a man. You start to man up and come through. It's true. No temptation overtaken you. Everyone comes, they think their stuff's their own. No one's had the problems like I've had. Listen, the Bible says it's just common to man. We can find it in the Bible somewhere, and Jesus experienced it all. So don't go thinking it's all so big. It isn't. Get it back in perspective. God's made a way for every problem to be overcome, so seek him to wind the way and get help if you need it. Oh, my goodness me, you know. Anyway, there's a few. So deal with issues properly. Forgive quickly. I don't even wait before people offend me. I'm into the forgiveness thing before I even meet them. So I pray, Lord, I want to have a heart that forgives. Today I choose to put on the spirit of forgiveness as you have forgiven me. I forgive all who disappoint, let me down, or fail me in any way before I meet them, and they do it. I've taken my posture. And here's why I've done that, because my father's like that. So therefore, I'm going to be like my father today. He's a forgiver, I'm a forgiver. Now you understand, it's choosing to build your identity through prayer and prepare to walk it out with your life. You know, and then it's got a bit of walking out. You get people do some stuff. I remember I was standing there up on my... I was doing some gardening one day. I was in Nanivert. And I'm standing there quietly, minding my business, gardening, and trying to do some fence stuff. And I see some kids playing on the road. And I see over there's an old lady come out from over the road. And she's a bit of a drinker and a bit of a red nose, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I hear her yelling. I thought, that's strange. She's yelling. And I thought, I wonder who she's yelling at. And I hear she's yelling about, you're a terrible father. You're a failure as a father. Wait a minute, she's talking about me. She's yelling at me. And of course, the first feeling was, you drunk old bag, go back home and get sober up. I can't say that thought didn't go through my mind. But you choose whether you develop a forgiving heart and operate out of another spirit or not. Choose meekness over anger. And I decided to choose meekness. And so I went down and I just said to her this, now get this, amazing what happens when you do it. I said, because she's angry. See, she's really fired up and angry, really red, you know, looking fierce, you know, yelling. It's not that nice. And so I just speak in a quiet voice because a soft answer turns away anger. So I spoke in a voice that's so quiet, and not like tonight, and quiet voice, so you've got to stop what you're shouting and listen to hear what I'm saying. And then I just ask the questions. You seem to be upset. What's upsetting you? And in the end, I just kept asking her questions. No matter what she said, I just asked her a question to explain to me what was happening. And then she calmed down to answer the question. Now her IQ's got into a better shape. We can have a conversation. Because when people get angry, their IQ drops. They just become idiots. So just no use answering with an... It's no use arguing with an angry man. You're going to get nowhere. You'll get angry. Anyway, I just said... And she said... Oh, well, she said... "It's your kids playing out on the street." And I said, "They're not my children." Oh, I said, "Well, what is it you're worried about?" She said, "I'm worried they're playing on the street." She said, "What are you worried will happen?" She said, "Well, I'm worried they'll get killed." I said, "Really?" I said, "What are you worried how they'll get killed?" And she said, "Well, someone might come around the corner and run them over." I said, "Well, that's a possibility, but they're quite a way back from the corner." I said, "What is it you're really worried about?" And it turns out her husband is sick, and she's worried he'll run the kids over. He'll have a turn and run them over. Now, she's yelling at me for being a hopeless father, and her real issue is a fear of her husband dying. And just being willing to listen and bring my heart and spirit back into control, then I found what her problem was and we could help her. And she became quite different towards us after that. And so I pray, God, give me an understanding, a hearing heart. Open the ears of my heart that I can hear what people are saying, what they're struggling with. Give me the ability to ask the questions that help them explain what's happening. See? So this is how you walk in freedom. It's about building a life with God that flows out into intimacy with Him, into the way you serve and work with people, and into letting God help you grow your own heart condition. Deal with your heart, bringing deliverance or healing or whatever. And I've needed deliverance. You can deliver yourself. Very simple. It's not hard. Just get yourself delivered. I've had to. Where do I go to get delivered? Ring Ian up, I suppose. Ian rings me up. So what are you going to do? You know. So the thing is, you can deliver yourself. If you've got a big issue inside, here's what you need to do. You should remember the R's of freedom. And first of all, I recognize I've got a problem. It's inside me. I need to then take responsibility for my part. I need to repent in my part. I need to confess it to the Lord, break all agreements, release forgiveness, and then rise in my spirit. And from my spirit, speak into my soul and body, "I command you to go in Jesus' name." Whoosh. Then I cough. And it's faith action. Man, I've had a few coughing fits. Some of them I've had in church. I thought, I think I'm getting delivered and I haven't even got up to preach yet. Because we're in a warfare. Stuff happens. So don't be naive. You're in a war, be a man. Step up. Start to step up. Remember, defeat means I'm passive, not joy, down, and just can't sing anything. But really, I make that decision. Lord, today I will worship you. Today I will pursue you. Today I will pray in the Spirit. Today I will arise in my heart. Today I exchange all my weakness and failures and disappointments for the grace and life that you alone give. It's actually quite a proactive thing to stay free. And I watch it all the time. The other day, I just said to Lord, I feel I'm drawing back in this area. Something's happened to me. What's happening to me? Then He began to show me, you're holding disappointment. Where was I disappointed, Lord? And He showed me where the disappointment was. He said, you need to bring it to the cross and build faith. Can you understand? See, that's how you walk in freedom. It's all about the connecting with God. It's not getting it right all the time. It's just actually walking in freedom. Amen? Holy Ghost, come. Why don't we get our musicians up and they can do their magic work? And we're going to pray for people. And man, that was great when you were getting in there. Fire, fire, fire. I could just about smell the smoke. You know, I could, the fire that comes out of the throne of God. And my mate here, I could see him. He was burning. I helped it. Laid hands on him, said, "Burn." This is, let the Holy Ghost come on our lives again. I want to pray tonight for every person that tonight you want to be commissioned to flow and minister in the realm of deliverance. Then take your place in the altar call tonight and we'll become worshipers, lift our hands to God. We're going to make a great freedom shout and begin to start to lift the atmosphere. And I believe fire will come on you and anointing will come on you. Now that means you're going to meet some demonized people. So just be in a place of prayer and preparation and give it a go. Just give it a go. Give it a go. Yes. That's the spirit. Come on, guys with tats. Come on up here. You go in the front. Come on. That's all right. Right up the front. Yeah, that's all right. You're not a guy with tats. Move over. Come on. Come on, Brad. Come on over here. Come on, some of these bros. Come on up here. Want you in the front row. No, that's it. Exactly. Right here. Come on now. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. And while our musician, you're ready? You did such a great job tonight. Oh, man, it was great. Holy Ghost, come on her. Fire of God. Fire burn inside her tonight. But not too much, Lord. I need her to lead us. Okay, we all ready? Here we go. Give her a mic. Give her a mic. Not my one. I've lost. She lost a mic. Can someone bring her a mic? Here I am. Oh, you've got one. There you go. Okay, then. Now, so to impart, remember, impartation means that through the laying on of hands, something comes upon you, but it comes as a seed. You need to actually take hold of it in your own life, and you begin to start to declare, thank you, Lord, the mantle of deliverance. It's the spirit of might. It came on Samson, and he broke down the doors. He slew the enemies. It came upon David. It came upon various men in the Bible, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. They changed. They become different men. And so God wants to put that mantle on you. You may feel something, you may not, doesn't really matter. Part of my commission is to activate people in deliverance. The Bible tells us that the judges of Israel were deliverers of Israel. They knew the law of God, they shared the law of God, and they delivered the people. And I pray that daily. Father, I pray for that mantle that was upon Samuel to rest upon me. That as I pray, the spirit of might is released from heaven, that demons flee, like the Philistines fled from Samson, from Samuel. Father, I thank you for that spirit of prayer over my life. I thank you for the spirit of might, that anointing that releases and activates kings. You know, I just gone through Samuel's life and what he did. But most of all, he offered an offering and prayed, and God thundered from heaven. And the Philistines were defeated and the territories returned. That's what a deliverer does. They help people get free and get the territories back. They get their life back, get the blessings back. You're a deliverer. The Spirit of God is coming upon you. It's a spirit of might. It's a spirit of might. The spirit of might. Tonight, Lord, release the spirit of might. Release deliverance glory over people's life. Lord, as we come and we begin to worship, let the heavens open up and let deliverance glory come. Let your might, that spirit of might come. Lord, begin to release angels, 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 angels to work with people. Father, I'm praying you will bring people into their lives that need deliverance. And Lord, stand in the office you've given me. I bring each person here before you. Father, I'm asking for the heavens to open. I'm asking for fire to fall down from heaven. I'm asking for fire to fall from heaven.
Let the fire come, let the fire fall down, let your fire come, let your fire fall down, let your fire come, let your fire fall down now. Let your fire come, let your fire fall down, let your fire come, let your fire fall down, let your fire come, let your fire fall down now. Let the fire come, let the fire fall down, let the fire come, let your fire fall down, let your fire come, let your fire fall down now. Oh, fire, fire, fire in the Holy Ghost, fire. There's fire, fire, fire in the Holy Ghost. Fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost now. There's fire, fire, fire in the Holy Ghost. Fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost now. There's fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire. Holy Ghost, fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost, fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost now. Fresh fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost, fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost, fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost now. Oh, fire, 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 fire. Here now I receive your fire, 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 fire. Fire, fire. Now I receive your fire, 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 fire. Right now, right here, right now, right here, your fire, fire, Holy Ghost fire, all consuming fire, right now. Fire, 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 right now I receive fresh fire, fire, fresh fire, fire, fresh fire, fire, right now, 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 fresh fire,
fire,
fresh fire,
fire,
fire. There's a Holy Ghost fire, there's a Holy Ghost fire, there's a Holy Ghost fire, and now there's a Holy Ghost fire, 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 Holy Ghost fire, and he is here right now. Fresh fire, fire, fresh fire, fire, fresh fire, fire, right now. Fresh fire, fire, fresh fire, fire, fresh fire, fire, right now. Fire, 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 fire. We release fresh fire, fire, fire. Fresh fire, fire, right now. Fresh fire, fire, fresh fire, fire, fresh fire, fire, right now. Fire of the Holy Ghost, fire, fire, fire in the Holy Ghost, fire, fire, fire in the Holy Ghost. There's fire, fire, fire in the Holy Ghost, fire, fire, fire in the Holy Ghost, fire, 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 Holy Ghost now.
Spirit. Let the joy of the Lord just fill the house. Thank you. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We bless you. Thank you for one another. In Jesus' name.